Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You only got two ways out, dead and feet first.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
Superfly Hall of Famer is in the house. I'm talking about the great Larry Merchant. Larry, very good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
Fine. How's the family?
We're doing splendid.
Okay. You know, Deontay Wilder, that fight with Malik Scott, I looked at the tape again yesterday. It didn't look like the most convincing punch in the world. Did you happen to see that, Larry?
I did, and I agree with those who felt that it was a little bit iffy, I'll put it that way.
And we know what iffy is, of course. But Wilder now, 31-0, we still don't know whether he can fight or not, do we?
Not really, and I don't know if we'll ever find out until he is maneuvered into a big title fight. Apparently that's been the plan all along. He won a medal in the... What was it? The 2008 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are in 2014, 6 years later, and they haven't put him to any kind of a test. So going on the theory that I've always gone on, which is when something mysterious like this happens, his handlers probably know more about him than we do. And if they've been afraid to put him in with anybody who might fight him back, that speaks for itself. But in this day and age, the whole game is to try to maneuver a fighter into a major fight. And if he's got a real flaw, like his chin, they'll at least make some serious money for the rest of us to find out.
$64,000. Question for the Godfather Larry Merchant. Does every man have a glass jaw until proven otherwise?
No, I think that in the weeding out process through the amateurs, through early professional exposure, we usually find out which guys can take a punch and which guys either can't or don't want to, or maybe they can't, and that's why they fight the way they do. But it's not like, you know, we've seen so many good-looking, athletic guys try to come into boxing much later than they used to.
Seth Mitchell.
And they get exposed when they get hit. Either because they aren't really good at defense or they get hit too cleanly, or because they haven't had those experiences before and how to deal with that kind of adversity. So but Mitchell was being moved in a bolder way than Wilder is. They did put him in against a few guys who at least had some kind of credibility, and we saw what happened to him. And I guess they think that they're not going to make the same mistake with Wilder.
Well, what I thought was funny about the Seth Mitchell fight with Areola is that Areola said he could bring his football helmet. It wouldn't help him, and it probably wouldn't have.
And Mitchell is a really good athlete, trained diligently, smart guy, And did it the right way, but found out that he could not deal with getting hit, and that's the name of that tune.
Okay, Godfather, we are a week away from the Manny Pacquiao Tim Bradley rematch. Of course, Bradley, the WBO welterweight title holder, having taken that crown from Pacquiao a couple of years ago in a very controversial decision. Straight up, Manny Pacquiao, Tim Bradley, break it down for us.
Well, I think the biggest question in this fight for me is really the one that Bradley has talked about, which is, can Manny Pacquiao turn the clock back a bit and show the kind of hunger that made him, to my mind, the most exciting fighter of recent times. And you can never dismiss a fighter of Pacquiao's high quality. Dismiss the fact that he has made modifications in his style over the years, including his last fight when he turned to be a complete boxer against Rios. But I think the burden of proof is on Manny Pacquiao. He cannot win a pure boxing contest against Bradley. And I think we'll find out whether he is still can go and find that other gear that made him so exceptional and dynamic and so forth. That is the biggest question in the fight.
Okay. This is his being a born-again Christian and doing all this devout praying 6, 7 hours a day and things like that. Larry, is this a plus or a minus, or does it depend on the individual?
Well, obviously it depends on the individual. I don't know how many hours a day he spends on his religion. I don't know how it's affected him as a fighter. All we know for sure is that in the 5 years since he had what I would call the one best year a fighter in a very long time has had, when he stopped De La Hoya, stopped Hatton, and stopped Cotto in sensational fights.
2008.
That he hasn't stopped anybody. Now, is that because he chose not to stop them? Is that because fighters, after seeing those three fights, decided that they were going to be more careful fighting him? Is that because he decided, I don't have to knock guys out to win anymore, like certain other veteran fighters we've known who have decided not to take any more risks and just go to the bank on their marquee names? I don't know. But now he's got an opponent that he's going to have to fight him to beat him, I think. And it's a toss-up fight in my mind.
Speaking of fights that were upcoming, I think May the 10th, I believe, on ESPN, Bermain Severn and Chris Ariola, the rematch. Anything different in the second fight that do you think, I mean, is going to be the same as the first? How do you see, how do you break down the rematch?
Well, the old saying is that if you beat a guy the first time, you should beat him the second time. And that's why we've had relatively few third fights in the series. We've had some notable ones, but not a lot of them, because when there is a rematch, the guy who won the first usually wins the second. I always like Stavern because he has fast hands for a heavyweight, seems to have a heavyweight mentality. But I also like Ariola and assume that maybe he was in 90% shape the last time, which was good for him, and maybe he'll be closer to 100% this time. I like Ariola, and I want to see that fight, and I'd like to see a really good heavyweight fight that generates some water cooler talk in the U.S.
Larry Merchant's our guest. We know that Ariola will be in shape for this fight. I mean, he looks trim. I saw him a couple of weeks ago at a press conference announcing the fight. But I remember having him on the show a couple of years ago, and it was like, I guess, 11 o'clock in the morning. I said, how are you? He said, okay, I just got back from the taco truck. I just had a few tacos. He goes, I'm going to have a couple of beers. And I mean, I didn't know whether he was serious or whether he was jesting or not, because the condition sometimes he got in the ring, he looked like he had been training at the taco truck.
Well, I think, you know, your skepticism may be justified because he's a smart guy who may have been trying to exploit his reputation, but There are. There's every reason to believe that he may have been telling the truth as well.
Okay. Bernard Hopkins, is he a blight on boxing? Is he a positive thing for boxing? I mean, he's 47, 48. I don't know how old he is
49.
Now. 49 years old, and he holds an alphabet title. Is that an indictment of today's boxing talent?
In some ways, I think it is. I think that the fact that we have so many older champions or so-called champions or title holders, there's a number of reasons for it. One is that at the elite level, there's so much money to be made today that it does become an incentive for them to keep training, stay in the game. But if there were an awful lot of good, tough young guys, they wouldn't be able to stay that long. But of course, when they get to be as famous as Hopkins is and they can choose opponents, they can also prolongate their careers in that way. I mean, I don't know who this next guy is and whether he can fight on that kind of a level. I suppose he wouldn't be. Otherwise, Hopkins wouldn't fight him. I don't think Hopkins or anybody is anxious to fight Kovalev.
No.
He's the guy I'm talking about when I say a younger, stronger guy. I got to tell you something, Pedro. No matter what insult he would hurl at me in the ring, I would not tell him I'd fight him 50 years ago.
You know, and I'll be honest with you, Larry, you and I are on the same page as far as Sergey Kovalev is concerned. Of course, the WBO light heavyweight title holder now.
And if Andre Ward had any cojones, he would fight Kovalev.
Okay, I've talked to Andre Ward about moving up to 175. He says it's on his agenda. He doesn't know when.
Well, nobody else does either. Whether he's going to fight, it's understandable that he's frustrated that guys like Frock and Chavez, even though he's better than they are, have better, bigger fan bases and are not interested in fighting him. In that case, at his age, I think he's now 29, 30. He's a big kid. He looks like a light heavyweight to me. If there are guys out there that would ignite more interest in him, then he should be fighting them. Okay. And it's understandable he wants to make the most money he can make. Good luck to that. But that also can become an excuse not to fight the top guys out there. He's a guy that has never had a big, big following, and one of the reasons is he doesn't fight enough, and one of the ways to do that is to fight the elite guys at the next weight level and get the boxing world.
We're going to roll them out up.
So that the casual fans start to become excited.
Larry Merchant, the godfather of the HBO crew, one more question for you. Are you racking up more frequent flyer miles now as a non-HBO employee than you were as an HBO employee?
By multiples of hundreds. My wife and I are going to be going around the world once again on frequent flyer mileages. I'm going back to China for a fight at the end of May. That's my next big one, and then to pile up more miles.
All the best to you, Godfather. Have a wonderful Saturday. Say hello to the Godmother for me, and we're honored to have you.
Hey, thank you, Pedro, anytime.
You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, folks. This is the Insider's Look into the World of Boxing and Mixed Martial Arts.